Well, the world this week woke up again to the news that there was another mass shooting in the United States, this time at an elementary school in Nashville. Police released the body cam footage yesterday of the officers who entered the school, and they shot dead the suspect. And when I saw and heard the news, and we broke the news here on the night shift early this week, I should have been in tears and I should have just felt an overwhelming sense of dread. But unfortunately, as that caller earlier this morning from Boston said, it almost washes over you because we are becoming used to it. Isn't that a terrible, terrible thing to admit? And the reason is these incidents are becoming more and more frequent. Different definitions exist for what constitutes a mass shooting, but non-profit organisation, the Gun Violence Archive, counts shootings where four or more people are killed or injured, excluding the gunman, is a mass shooting. They've tracked 131 such incidents since the start of this year. And it's only nearly April. 131 just this year. The cases of mass shootings are getting worse. The surge in violence appears to be getting worse. Gun ownership is on the rise. And you've got to ask yourself why. Every time there's a mass shooting, you have governors, congressmen, and the President of the United States saying how concerned they are, how much change is needed, and there are thoughts and prayers. But then nothing happens. Nothing happens. So what is it about the gun culture in the United States? It has a long history. And I thought, who better to explain it all to us than our expert on international affairs, Dr. Keith Suter, who, by the way, has his own podcast on the Listener app, and it's called Global Truths. He's also the managing director of the Global Directions Think Tank, and he joins us now, Dr. Keith Suter. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Keith, I mean, I hate to say it, but here we go again, and there's prayers, there's thoughts, there's flowers and teddy bears, and then nothing is going to change. The world is sick of looking at all of this. Keith, can you explain why America is so wrapped up in gun culture? And do you think anything is ever going to change?
No, nothing's going to change. Every time we have these mass shootings and I'm doing interviews, the question is always, surely this particular event will bring on a change, and it never does, never will. You can't even talk about it, really, with members of the Republican Party. The background to it is that going all the way back to the formation of the United States, the Constitution was created in 1787, and then they decided to add to it a collection of documents called the Bill of Rights. And the Bill of Rights lays down limitations on government power. And the Second Amendment, as it's called, so the second bit of the document, it actually says there is a right to bear arms. And when it was written, it wasn't particularly controversial. It was just simply a clear statement of fact. In those days, people did have guns at home. They were using them to either hunt for wildlife, like deer, mm-hmm. or perhaps fending off attacks from the indigenous populations. It also had the impact of creating a nation in arms, which is a phrase that Napoleon used later. In other words, saying that basically anybody invading the United States will be met with a well-armed population ready to fight off the invading force.
Almost a civilian army.
A civilian army, in effect. And all the way through until Pearl Harbor, December 7, 1941, the Americans avoided having a large standing army. It changed for the 4 years of the American Civil War, 1861 to 1865. But other than that, the Americans have always had a small army. It's interesting to note that in the year 1940, the year before Pearl Harbor, the army of Greece was larger than the army of the United States.
Wow.
So the quid pro quo is that you wouldn't want to invade the United States for fear of coming up against all these guns.
Because every second house was well armed.
They were embedded in the DNA of Americans.
Yep.
If you're an American, you have a gun. It's as simple as that. Mm. Doesn't necessarily mean that people are getting killed. It's interesting, you think back to the days of the old Wild West. Quite often, the guns were banned inside the town limits. So when a cowboy, so to speak, would arrive on his horse, he would have to hand the guns in to the local sheriff.
Mm.
So in fact, it was actually quite a low level of gun violence in the Wild West. You wouldn't get that impression from Hollywood movies.
No.
But some towns are more dangerous today than they were in the Wild West days. So anyway, that's the tradition. It's very much embedded in part of the DNA. Now, there are more guns in the United States than there are people, but there are some people who don't own guns. So we mustn't think that the availability of guns is spread all the way evenly across the population, because I teach at Boston University, which is obviously a blue university. It's on the left. It's in a Democrat-controlled state of Massachusetts. And a lot of people there come from families that don't have guns, mm-hmm. would never permit a gun.
Mm.
On the other hand, you've got other states, particularly red states, where guns are more easily available. And there's usually a debate about, you know, are you allowed to carry a gun into McDonald's, for example, or into church, which is a bit worrying. If you don't like the sermon, you just shoot the preacher. So there is this, you know, it's just so widespread as an issue. So if you look at what has happened in the last few hours, a lot of the, if you like, the blue-tinted media, like CNN, have been chasing the Republican politicians, saying that as a result of this latest massacre, do you think there is now a time to go back to gun control? And their universal response is saying guns are not the problem. Guns don't kill people. People kill people. And so you've got a mental health crisis in the United States. We've got to address mental health, availability, etc. And besides, one national law cannot make sense in a country as varied as the United States. And so the Republicans are saying they're not interested in discussing gun control. So politicians on the left are saying, yes, we've got to revive the debate. For example, there was a ban on these really serious rifles, which lapsed about 20 years ago under President Bush. He didn't seek to get it renewed. So the sunset clause came down. The ban on the weapons was lifted. And there's been a move, you know, to try to get a ban reinstated, particularly as we've seen with this man or woman, whatever she calls herself, and the way that she was able to attract guns. Her own parents didn't know that she was stockpiling guns at home. And so if you'd had a ban on these very heavy-duty weapons, then it may well be she wouldn't have been able to buy them so easily and store them at home away from the parents.
She had seven guns, all legally bought, and they were hidden in her house. And I read that the total number of gun-related deaths in the US is going up. A lot of these deaths are suicides, but they're not all mass shootings, but we've had how many mass shootings just this year?
131.
131, and it's not even April. It's April. So the mass shootings are obviously people who are mentally dishevelled and have mental illness, but that doesn't stop somebody with a mental illness buying seven guns.
And it varies from one state to another. There are 33,000 regulations covering guns across the United States.
So
it varies from one state to another. Even something, as I've said, you know, carrying a gun openly, that is permitted in some states, but it's not permitted in others.
And we had Donald Trump saying, arm the teachers, so that when the baddies go into the schools, the teachers are shooting back. Remember that?
Yeah, exactly. Now, of course, the issue here for the Republicans is that most of their gun owners are Republican voters.
Mm.
That's why you can't talk about gun control to Republican politicians.
Right.
Because you're talking about their own constituents.
Mm.
Which is why I'm just very pessimistic about there ever being gun control legislation, certainly at the national level. You might get a tightening up at some of the local levels. As I say, some of the laws vary quite a bit from one state to another. And so you may be able to achieve some things at the county level, or perhaps even at the state level. But you cannot override this amendment to the Second Amendment to the Bill of Rights. A great example of this is the Equal Rights Amendment Act. So this is a proposal that's been around for decades, which would guarantee that a woman is the equal of a man. And that was going to be a very simple amendment, right? ERA, Equal Rights Amendment Act. It still has not been passed.
Isn't that amazing?
Because you've got some people saying, well, that means that the women will be conscripted and they'll end up working in the armed forces, or they'll be forced to go down the coal mines. Now, of course, the whole issue of gender fluidity, et cetera, would probably prevent that amendment from being considered. So once you've got something enshrined in that American Constitution, it's a very, very difficult to change it. Now, ironically, I'm a supporter of Australia having a Bill of Rights, but an argument against the Bill of Rights being enshrined in the Constitution is that once it goes into the Constitution and you want to change it, it's very, very difficult to do so.
Well, that's right.
So I come across lawyers who are on the left, who are in favour of human rights, but who warn against following the American model and the embodying a group of rights within the Constitution, because it'll be so difficult to change it later on.
It's a very interesting history, and you've explained it well. Dr. Keith Suter is with us. Keith, just what do you say to people who say, use the argument, well, look, you can ban guns and make guns illegal, but if you are hell-bent on getting anything illegal, anything, whether it be drugs or guns, where there's a will, there's a way. If you want a gun, you're going to find it.
And that's our experience here in Australia. Mm. Luckily, we have a very low level of gun violence, but nonetheless, it is still possible, if you really put your mind to it, to be able to buy certainly a standard rifle or even a revolver of some sort. Perhaps not the really heavy-handed stuff that you get in the United States, which you just buy over the counter. That might be a little more difficult to achieve. But certainly in this country, if you need to get a gun, you're able to do so.
Keith, are automatic weapons banned in America now?
No.
You can still buy automatic and semi-automatic weapons?
Yeah, which are useful if you're fighting in Ukraine against the Russians, but there's really no use for them within America. Not even if you're hunting deer do you need that sort of weapon. You can get the deer with an ordinary rifle. You don't need that really heavy duty stuff. But so for me, there's no argument in favor of Americans doing that, but nonetheless, the legislation restricting the availability of those heavy duty weapons lapsed 20 years ago and no one's had it revived.
So Keith, what we saw this week, we're going to see again.
Oh, absolutely. It's no doubt in my mind. Whether it'll be a disturbed young woman or man as a transsexual, or whether it's going to be somebody who's got a grudge against a fellow workmate, we've seen that often enough, but there will be this recurrence of the violence. It's part of the American DNA.
Frightening stuff. Dr. Keith Suter, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Dr. Keith Suter, expert on international affairs. He has his own podcast on the Listener app. It's called Global Truths. And he's Managing Director of the Global Directions Think Tank. You're listening to The Night Shift on Triple M.